Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is, again, so good to gather together here this morning as the people of God. We are thankful for this opportunity. We are delighted to finally have some of the necessary pieces of equipment that we've been waiting for. And we're going to figure things out as we go. There are things that we will, Lord willing, get better at as we move forward with these services. And even, Lord willing, as some of the stipulations change, hopefully in a couple of weeks, we'll be even more able to assemble together on the Lord's Day for corporate worship. So this morning, as we gather here under the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in His authority and power, and by the work of His Holy Spirit, I want to take the time that we have here this morning to look at the Word of God in order to answer the question, why would we even try to do this? Wouldn't it be easier to still be at home in our living rooms on the Lord's Day morning? We wouldn't have to worry about the sun beating down into your vehicles and managing children in a confined space. There's many conveniences that would be better at home compared to this setting. Why would we spend these weeks trying to get a transmitter? Why would we work at that? Why would we endure the variables of the weather? And we could ask this question from a different perspective as well. Why would our brothers and sisters in persecuted countries around the world gather under threat and pain of imprisonment and torture and death? It'd be easier for them to just have their little scriptures quietly in a corner somewhere and never get together with the people of God. Wouldn't they be safer in that way? Wouldn't it be easier? We could ask the question of our brothers and sisters in different parts of the world who maybe get up early and hike for 10 miles on foot in order to gather with the people of God, to hear the authoritative teaching of the Word of God, to sing the praises of God together. Why would they do that? There would be a lot of convenience in just having some kind of private worship at home. And so we want to spend a few minutes now in the Word of God looking at that particular question. And it's connected to what God is doing in this universe, to God's purposes for having a creation at all. And so we want to turn first this morning to look at a passage in 1 Chronicles and chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And we're going to see an assembly of God's people under the old covenant in the land with David as king. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and beginning in verse 10, David blesses the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. And David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all." And as they're gathered in this assembly, and David as king of Israel, the Lord's anointed king over Israel, proclaims the greatness of the Lord in the assembly, we have down in verse 20, David saying this, "Then David said to all the assembly, 'Bless the Lord your God.' And all the assembly blessed the Lord their God. of their fathers and bowed their heads and paid homage to the Lord and to the King. Under the old covenant, we have, of course, that quintessential moment of deliverance in the Exodus from Egypt, where God, through mighty signs and through mighty wonders, through the shedding of the blood to preserve the firstborn amongst Israel, preserves his people and then delivers them out of their bondage and slavery, and he brings them out of that land in order that they might gather, that they might assemble, and that they might worship him. And he gathers them to the mountain, and he comes and he delivers his authoritative word to his people, and he calls his people to worship him according to the word that he lays out for them. And in the history of the Old Covenant people of God, we see these moments where the congregation is assembled. They're assembled in Jerusalem. They're assembled in the temple. Here at this moment, they're assembled in anticipation of the building of the temple. And they're assembled under the authority of God's anointed Davidic king. And this moment here in this assembly anticipates the people of God having been redeemed by his mighty work in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, by his grace alone, received by faith alone. It anticipates the great assembly on the last day, the assembly that we get a picture of in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. We have this moment where John says, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever.'" And so as we jump back into that moment under the Davidic king, as the assembly is gathered, and as they're called to worship their God, we see that it's an anticipation of this final vision, when it won't be just one nation under heaven. It will be the people from every tribe and language and people and nation gathered around the throne of David's greater son, the Davidic king who was promised, the eternal king, Jesus, the Son of God, come in the flesh, the one who came to seek and save the lost, the one who came to deal with your sin and mine once for all on the cross, and to gather a people for himself who would before him in holiness for all of eternity in the assembly praise his name because he is worthy. Sing of the glory of the blood of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world for all eternity in perfect love, in perfect power, in perfect unity, and assembly. An assembly. This is God's intention for his people. God comes in saving power through the word of his gospel, empowered by his Spirit to bring new spiritual life genuinely and actually in the lives of individual people, in the very hearts of individual people, in the very seat and center of our beings. God works his salvation for us. Without any contribution from us, he does this for his glory. But God is far too majestic in his greatness, far too awesome in his power. His salvation is far too glorious to be worshiped only by an individual, to be worshiped only privately. God deserves your worship and mine and the worship of every human being in our quietest moments, in the privacy of our living rooms, as we drive to work, as we raise our children, as we go about every activity of the day. But God's glory and his salvation is far too great for him to be worshiped only individually, for him to be worshiped only privately. That worship is necessary, but it's insufficient. It's not enough. God has designed from the beginning when he created Adam, and then he said it's not good for him to be alone. I'm going to create a helper suitable for him, and then I'm going to give them the command to multiply and fill the earth, because billions upon billions are required to even come to some match and measure of what God is worth in praise and honor and glory and power. So we gather because God deserves not just our private worship, but our corporate worship. We saw that this is the goal that he has for us. This is the end that is in store for us. Not to be in heaven by ourselves, but to be in the presence of the Lamb together. The great assembly from every background you can imagine, from every place you can imagine, from every tribe and language that you can imagine. Redeemed by the blood of the one Lamb. Redeemed by the eternal Son of God and his cross. Given new life by his resurrection from the dead, constituted as a body by the Holy Spirit in power, now an assembly. And we find ourselves between these two passages that I read this morning. And when we ask the question, why would we go to great lengths to do this? It's because we are the church. Jesus Christ says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What does the word church mean? The word church means assembly. The word church means assembly. The people of God have gathered since the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ on the Lord's day. They have assembled as little, if you will, manifestations now and here that the assembly in David's day anticipated, and that the assembly on the last day is going to constitute. That vision in Revelation is for a moment manifested when we gather together as the people of God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, united in one local expression of that universal body of Christ, united under the authoritative preaching of the word, united to sing his praises together because he deserves our praise together. Our private and individual worship is necessary, but it's insufficient. He designed us to gather together to sing his praises. And what we do here on the Lord's Day, each Sunday, is absolutely audacious. It's crazy. Consider what we do on the Lord's Day. We gather together to proclaim, to announce, to herald with all the authority of the risen Lord Jesus Christ by his Spirit that Jesus is Lord right now, today, that he sits on his throne right now, this morning, that In his blood, there is sufficient provision for the forgiveness of every sin that you have ever committed. And by faith in him, you can know his powerful redemption. You can be cleansed from all your unrighteousness. We gather to proclaim this word, that he is Lord, not just here, not just in our hearts, not just that he is our Lord, but that he is the Lord. We proclaim it for the world. Jesus reigns now. Jesus is Lord of Justin Trudeau, and he is Lord of Brian Pallister, and he is Lord of every government representative that you could name. He's Lord of every nation that we can think of. It is a fact. And we come to herald the glory that he calls each person to bow their knee before him, to submit to his kingship and his rule, to surrender to his salvation that is available for free, that is given for each who will turn from their sins and come. We gather on the Lord's Day to herald ultimate reality in a world that questions whether there is even such a thing as truth. We come to proclaim the truth, and we do it without apology. We do it without qualification. We state to ourselves and to the world what they exist for, what we are here for. All things are from God and through God and to God. Every human being was created for his glory. They exist by his good pleasure, and he deserves their praise. Every human being is accountable to God. We come to proclaim that without apology. We come to proclaim the glorious grace of Jesus every single Lord's Day. We come to proclaim what God has called each individual to be and to do. We herald it week in and week out. We don't just come to proclaim it with words from a pulpit, but we come to sing it. We come to sing it. God has always called his people to worship him in song, to give expression to the glorious truths of his character, the glorious reality of his salvation, and to not just sit under it in the word, but to then sing it forth in praise. And we're to do that together. We said that God deserves our corporate worship. God constitutes his people into local corporate bodies to live the Christian life together and to gather on the Lord's Day to sing his praises, to sit under his word, to pray and call upon his name together. And we have to remember that our singing, though everything is always first Godward, our singing is explicitly addressed to one another. So we come to have the word proclaimed to us, to have God's word proclaimed to us, but we also come to sing his word to one another, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, says the word of God. When we are singing, we must remember that we are singing first to God, but we are singing secondly to each other. We need to come and hear each other say to each other, "Behold your God." We need to hear each other sing to one another, "All glory be to Christ." We need to come and sing to one another, "Rock of ages cleft for me." We need to come and sing to each other the glories of the gospel and the splendor of the King and the beauty of the salvation that he has worked for us. And so we have to assemble in order to do that. That's what God calls us to do as his people. And just to grasp grasp a little bit experientially of how this works in our lives and how being scattered, the church exists in two states primarily. We exist as the gathered church, and then we exist as the scattered church. We don't cease to be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ when we go, and yet we can't just be scattered. We're supposed to assemble. We're supposed to assemble. We must do this. The Lord calls us to it. So consider. Consider this call that is upon us. And as we try to do our best to gather to worship the Lord together on the Lord's Day in this way, let's try to do so in the power of the Spirit. Let's try to do so with grace towards one another as we try to work out these details. But this vision of what the Lord has called His church to do in terms of gathering and being together on the Lord's Day under the Word of God to sing the praises of God is something that we are called to prioritize. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says we're not to neglect meeting together. We're to gather together as the whole body of Christ insofar as we are able. And God has given us this opportunity to do that, to be a pillar and buttress for the truth of God here in this place as we gather and we lift and exalt the name of Jesus. We fly His flag here to say, we have come. We are those who have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. We are those who sit under the reign and rule of the Lord Jesus Christ, who are satisfied in Him. And we declare to the world that this is our life. Our life is indeed Jesus Christ. And He's called us into this body to worship Him together. So let's close with this last thought written by a saint hundreds of years ago. The Lord engages Himself to let forth, as it were, a stream of His comfortable, quickening presence to every particular person that fears Him. But when many of these particulars join together to worship God, then these several streams are united and meet in one, so that the presence of God, which enjoyed in private is but a stream, in public becomes a river that makes glad the city of God. So brothers and sisters, let us be glad in Him. Let us sing His praises together. Let us rejoice in the assembly of the holy ones. Let's pray. Father, You are good, and our words cannot even begin to express the glory of Your majesty, the splendor of Your holiness, the matchless nature of Your love that You've demonstrated in Jesus Christ as He came to live the life we could not live, and to die the death we deserved, and to be raised again to newness of life, that all who turn from their sins and trust in Him would know eternal life, would have new life in Him, would have forgiveness of sins now and for always. Father, we pray that You would now unite our hearts to sing Your praise. In Jesus, amen.